Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Major upset in Colorado. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have some news from Colorado and some from Argentina, with the former dictator in Argentina admitting now that he disappeared about 7,000 people or more. He disappeared them. They disappeared. If you recall, we covered this back in the 1990s when he was sent to prison. The main newspaper in Argentina, their daily Pagina, had a headline, bold front page headline, Dios existe. Am I pronouncing that right? Dios existe. Little Spanish lingo there. God exists. Now, why would they have a headline that says God exists? In fact, the Boston Globe, this is how I found out about it, the Boston Globe reported on that headline, and they said that the country of Argentina was celebrating, and their main newspaper said God exists because the former dictator, who had gotten away with an amnesty for all kinds of crimes, murder and assaults and terrible crimes, theft, they arrested him on a loophole in the amnesty because the amnesty didn't cover kidnapping. And he had kidnapped many, many, many children and gave them as prizes or rewards for loyalty to his supporters, infants. And he would disappear the mothers after they gave birth. He would disappear them. He's now admitted to a little bit of this in a book published by Random House that's just out. And we're going to talk about some of these details, but the reason we covered this on Bob Enyart Live is because of this biblical truth that it was like a modern parable where you're reading the book of Hebrews right there in the newspapers, in the Boston Globe, and in the Daily Pagina. Because what the Bible says is that when people do not see justice, they will doubt that there's a God of justice. They'll doubt it. But when people see justice implemented through the government, then they will believe that there's a God of justice. And you could understand, although it's not a perfect rationale, you could understand what leads people to those conclusions. When they see no justice, then they tend to doubt the existence of a God of justice. And that's one of the many reasons why we as Christians should advocate that the government function in a way that honors and obeys God. So many Christians have been seduced by various bizarre forms of secularism into thinking that it's somehow wrong for Christians to advocate that the government operate in a godly way. That it's somehow it's not Christian to try to influence the government. We don't want to get our hands dirty. Let other people do that. Let atheists and homosexuals and Hollywood and the humanists, let them decide how the government should function. We're going to focus on Sunday school curriculums and increasing attendance at church and maximizing the collection. But how dare you suggest that we Christians should get involved in something as unseemly as how the government should function. When the Bible says that the people will rejoice when the righteous govern and that the nation will groan when the wicked are in power. So when you're talking about rejoicing and groaning, you're talking about human suffering versus happiness and success and progress. So, of course, we Christians have a ministry obligation, just as if there is a painter who's cheating his customers. He's lying to them and he's cheating them. Then as a Christian, and we find out, we should say, you're supposed to honor God in what you do. Everything that your hand finds to do, you need to honor and obey God in everything. Christians would agree. Well, sure, we should encourage a painter to do what's right. How about a cook at a restaurant? What if he doesn't care about God or his neighbor and he spits in the food? Sorry. Rush just grossed out. Sorry, I take it back. If he is disobeying God, it's going to hurt a lot of people, affect a lot of people. He should get fired if he's disobeying God in the conduct of his profession. And the same is then true, of course, with governors. What? It's as though governing doesn't require godly wisdom or influence from believers. What is it, the only profession that we don't care whether or not they go to hell? If somebody's the leader of a country, we don't care if they honor God. We don't care if they kill the innocent. We don't care if they steal from families and implement socialist programs like George W. Bush's senior prescription drug program, which I saw the latest estimate through 2018, it's going to cost $700 billion. $700 billion from when he implemented it. And he did that in order to get reelected in 2004. To improve his chances of winning the senior vote. So not getting the whole senior vote, just at the margin, just enough senior votes to offset his opponent. So we're still paying now. And it's going to cost, by 2018, it's going to cost $700 billion. And so the Republicans, when they look at the Democrats and see how they spend, and I'd say like a drunken sailor, but we don't want to insult drunken sailors. You see how Obama spends out of control, and you think, well, the Republicans, they did the same thing, and what? We think that the Democrats are going to be restrained as compared to the Republicans? The Democrats are always going to spend more than the Republicans, so what are we thinking when we support a pro-homosexual marriage, pro-child killing, tax-funded, government healthcare reform, individual mandate kind of a left-wing politician like Mitt Romney? What are we thinking? He's already bested Barack Obama in every category. All the Republicans at the Colorado State Assembly, and I'll get back to Jorge Videla momentarily, but all the Republicans who were supporting Mitt Romney at the Colorado State Republican Assembly, I was a delegate, I was there. I spent most of my time getting signatures for the personhood amendment. A wonderful time was had by all. We got a lot of signatures, had a wonderful table, a crowd in front of the table. I had great conversations with pro-lifers, Christians, with atheists. One guy who was really angry, he came by and he said, I'm pro-choice. And I asked, like I'd ask everybody, I said, why? Could we talk about it? And he was willing to talk. And he said, I'm pro-death. I'm pro-death. I believe in euthanasia. My daughter had an abortion. My other daughter should have had an abortion. Some of the conversations were pretty heavy. Some with one atheist, he goes by the name Skinny. That was my favorite conversation of the day. But still, there were Republicans there who were trying hard. They figured, okay, Rick Santorum has bowed out of the race, so this should be a slam dunk. Romney should win all the 18 delegates. And it turns out, now there were at-large delegates, and that was separate from the main delegate vote, but it turns out that, and this was so fun, of the 18 delegates, Romney lost 13 of them. He lost 13 of the 18 delegates. And then there were others elected through the congressional district assemblies, and it turns out that Romney, I think, ends up with about half of the Colorado delegates, about half. And that was fun. It was fun. And we'll give you a report on how the resolutions went, because many resolutions were voted on. I expect that we'll see that the pro-life and the personhood resolutions passed. I hope and pray. Now, they were buried. You had to read through about 60, 65 technical, wordy resolutions before you got to the pro-life ones, as though the right to life shouldn't be front and center, the most important, because none of the other resolutions have any relevancy if you're dead. The right to life is the paramount right to life. The paramount right is the right to life. That should have been the first resolution. Somebody call Ryan, please. Somebody call Ryan. I mean, Ryan, call somebody. Somebody call Ryan, call. He's the chairman of the Colorado Republican Party, Ryan Call. He's the boss. Somehow they managed to bury the right to life resolution deep into the pile of resolutions. Even still, I imagine it passed. So we'll have to get that information. But Senator John Thune from South Dakota, he was there to speak on Mitt Romney's behalf. Each of the speakers who were representing the presidential candidates, they got 15 minutes. So as we said last week, Doug and I, tragically, Rick Santorum is endorsing Mitt Romney. We announced that here on Bob and Your Live. Santorum hasn't announced it, but we'll announce it for him. So Santorum is endorsing Mitt Romney, which is a great tragedy. Remember that he endorsed Arlen Specter against the warnings of Christians and pro-lifers? Don't do it, Rick. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he did it. He did it. And Arlen Specter won the election, Republican U.S. Senate, and he changes party affiliation to become a Democrat, and he becomes the final vote that Barack Obama needed to pass Obamacare. Against all the warnings of the Christians and the pro-lifers, warning Rick Santorum, and now it's just happening again, right? Rick, it's a lust for power. It's a political lust for power. He can't control himself. He wants to be a kingmaker. And so Mitt Romney, it looks like he's going to get the nomination. Rick just can't control himself. He's got to play in the sandbox. He's got to do it. Even though Mitt Romney will be worse than Barack Obama and give us homosexual marriage and government health care reform and the individual mandate and tax-funded abortion and force Catholic hospitals to administer the abortion drug, violate religious freedom. Even though Mitt Romney has bested Barack Obama in all these categories, he's already done more to destroy what is good and right than Barack Obama has dreamed of. He's already done more than Obama has dreamed of doing. Still, Rick Santorum can't control himself and is going to repeat his Arlen Specter 2, this time with child killer Mitt Romney. When John Thune, Senator, U.S. Senator John Thune, spoke on behalf of Mitt Romney, each of the spokesmen got 15 minutes to pitch their candidate. And I thought it'd be interesting because I was waiting, looking at my watch. Well, I don't own a watch anymore. Does anybody here own a watch? Watches are gone. Daryl Berkey, you got a watch? Russ? Nobody under 70 owns a watch anymore in this country. I had to get my cell phone out, my Android. It was 14 minutes into John Thune's speech before he mentioned his candidate's name. So he has 15 minutes to excite the whole Republican State Assembly, 4,500 people. He's got 15 minutes to excite them to support Mitt Romney for president. And he was 14 minutes in before he only mentioned Romney's name twice in 15 minutes. He went 14 minutes without mentioning Romney's name. He got a loud applause when John Thune took the stage, took the podium. But 14 minutes in, he mentioned Mitt Romney's name. And I don't think he did this on purpose or intentionally. When he said Mitt Romney, he said it very quietly, almost as though he had coughed. And he mentioned Romney's name a second time, and the applause, you know, people would stand up, give standing ovations. The applause for Mitt Romney was so subdued. There was no excitement in the climax of John Thune's speech. There was no excitement. I heard more excitement and applause for Biff Gore than I heard for Mitt Romney. Biff Gore. Now, I love Biff Gore. I'd applaud for Biff Gore, his homeschool family, Marilyn Gore. I'd applaud for him anywhere. Standing ovation. When he speaks at a Colorado Right to Life event, I'd applaud for Biff Gore, but I think Biff got a bigger applause than Mitt Romney got. Now, at the start of the event, 4,500 people or so, these are all the Republican movers and shakers statewide, all come together at the Magnus Arena in Denver. So we get the announcement to begin the event, and now to sing our national anthem is the president of Colorado Right to Life, Biff Gore. And the place erupts in applause. Yay! Biff Gore, everybody. And Biff, he just knocked it out of the ballpark. I mean, what a great rendition of our national anthem. He's just a tremendous musician and singer. And it was a blessing to have the president of Colorado Right to Life open the event. That was neat. So Biff got this rousing applause where John Thune says, in we have Obama bombs singing and Romney. And it's like a few people clapped when he said Mitt Romney. The mood at the event was very much, of course, Romney had his Romney bots. Their eyes were glazed over. They had very pale skin. Dark, sunken eyes, very red lips. They would cheer when they had to for Mitt Romney, but there was not excitement. I was really thrilled to see that there's a significant number of conservatives and pro-lifers who know that Mitt Romney is the enemy, and those people who were supporting Mitt Romney at the Republican Assembly, they absolutely, under slightly different circumstances, they absolutely would support Barack Obama. They absolutely would support Barack Obama. And if you don't know that, you're simply a fool. They would support Hillary Clinton. They would support Bob Dole and John McCain. If you could support Romney the zombie, certainly, you could support Barack Obama under slightly different circumstances because the person he's running against is even worse. So quick, name three differences, policy differences between Mitt Romney and Bill Clinton. Quick. Romney is so much more liberal than Bill Clinton ever dreamed of being. So much more liberal. And I remember at the time, this is the most important election of our lifetime. This is the most important election in history. They say that every 4 years. They even say it on off-year elections. They're lunatics. Doesn't anyone pay attention? Don't they know that everyone knows that they're just making this up? This is the most important election in our lifetime. How could every election be the most important election of your lifetime? It was good to see that this was a major setback for the Romney campaign in Colorado. Doug McBurney calls it the Bob and Yurt Live Romney syndrome, emanating out of the Denver 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT blowtorch of the Rockies. Our broadcast footprint is significantly larger than that smaller station up the dial at 850. You know that station that's they struggle so badly they can't even afford the fourth call letter. You know, most stations have like WABC, KLTT. They've got KOA, KOA Watt, KOA. They couldn't afford the fourth call letter, but they've got a 50,000 watt signal too, but it's higher on the AM dial, so it doesn't go as far. Here at Bob and Yurt Live, us using, hopefully, Lord willing, using this in good stewardship, using this opportunity to speak to thousands of people and warn Christians that Romney is the enemy. What matters is not getting Obama out of the White House. That's not what matters. What matters is obeying God, doing right. That's what matters. God doesn't hold us accountable for the outcome. He holds us accountable for our faithfulness in obeying him. And if you support the enemy because you got sucked into some political lust, well, then you supported the enemy. And speaking of the enemy, this former Argentine dictator, Jorge Videla, now has been interviewed for this brand new book published by Random House. And he said that, and these are quotes from him, he's in a federal prison in Argentina. And he says there were 7,000 or 8,000 people who had to die. He's their former dictator. He's now 86 years old. And he said that the disappearance of the bodies was decided to not provoke protest from inside the country and outside of the country. And he admitted, he said, these are quotes from the book, translated into English. He said, each disappearance must be understood as a way to hide, to conceal a death. And he said, there was no other alternative. Military leaders were in agreement that it was a price that must be paid to win the war. 2 months before the coup, 1976, military leaders drew up lists of people who should be arrested immediately after the overthrow of Isabel Perón. Remember Perón? Remember Eva Perón? Evita Perón? Evita was before. Don't cry for me, Mitt Romney. Remember all that? Evita Perón was before Isabel Perón. So there were lists that were drawn up of people who had to be disappeared. And he said, there's really no master list. In fact, the whole coup was a mistake. Humanitarian organizations say about 30,000 people disappeared during that dictatorship. So I'd like to go back now 15 years to an article that I reported on when I was on the air, 1998, and this was from the Independent over in London. And it was about this former Argentine junta leader, General Jorge Videla, who got away with murder. Dozens of murders that they knew at the time, cases of torture, but he may not be getting away with kidnapping. They point out that what was done was what they called a dirty war of abducting babies from detained women and giving or selling them to families in the military who were childless or to police officers. And the mothers, now their crime was that they were against military rule of Argentina. So they were arrested. Many of them were college students or professionals or housewives. And if they were known, if they were reported to be against the military junta, well, then they were arrested. They were kept in prison until they gave birth, and then their babies were taken from them and given as rewards to political supporters of Videla, and then they were disappeared. And according to one military officer who has since repented, some of these women were taken up in military airplanes and thrown out over the ocean so that their bodies would never be found. And that's a firsthand testimony. This General Videla, he received this amnesty. So all this cruelty, all the crime that he was responsible for, he got away with it. And they said, you know, for the good of the country, we have to move on. But then he was arrested because the courts realized there was a loophole. And the loophole was he was given amnesty for torture and murder, but not for kidnapping. So they got him on kidnapping. The Argentina, their big daily newspaper, Pagina, in a bold front page headline, shouted, Dios existe. Dios existe. God exists. God exists. So that atheist at the Republican State Assembly, he said, I'm against abortion. I have kids. I'm against abortion, but I don't know where to draw the line as to when rights begin. I don't know where to draw the line. And he said, so I want to support personhood, but I can't really. And I said to him, there's something in you that you're not saying. Would you say what's really on your mind? And he hesitated. And I said, come on, I want to pull it out of you. Tell me what you're really thinking, because I know there's something in there. And he said, well, I'm an atheist, and I don't know where to draw the line. I said, well, to answer that question, you have to know where rights come from. When you know where rights come from, then you could answer the question. Because they don't come from the delivery doctor at birth. They don't come from the hospital or the midwife. They come from our creator, and that means they are invested in us at the moment of creation, which we call conception, fertilization. And he said, well, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, then you're never going to be able to answer your question, when do rights begin? He agreed they don't come from the government, because then they wouldn't be rights, would they? Because then the government could take them away. And I said to him, they can't come from the majority, correct? Because then in Germany, the Germans were against the Jews, and in America, against blacks. He said, yeah, rights don't come from the majority. I said, well, then the only thing you have left is your preference. You prefer one or the other. And he said, no, it can't be. Most people would agree with me. And I said, most people, that would mean they come from the majority. And you agree they can't. So it has to come from God. So God exists. And he said, all we need is justice. And I said, the only place justice comes from is God.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.